Remind members that this meeting will be recorded and ask members to note that mobile phones should be switched off as they interfere with the recording. Tablet devices should be switched to mute, which is FN and F8. I'd remind members to declare their interest as appropriate throughout the meeting and declare the meeting open for the public. Agenda item number one is apologies. Are there any apologies? Just joke around, Deputy Chairperson. Any other apologies? Okay. Agenda item number two, Chairperson's business. I've nothing to declare there. Agenda item number three, then, minutes of the meeting, 3rd of December. Can I refer members to draft minutes of the meeting on 3rd of December, 2013, at pages 6 to 11. Are members content that the draft minutes are accurate? If so, I will sign. Members agreed?
Agreed.
Sorry about that.
Okay.
Okay, members. Okay, agenda item number four then is matters arising. Can I refer members to the matters arising at pages 14 to 28? There's an index sheet at page 13. Are members content to action those as they are presented on page 13?
Agreed.
Or any member? Okay. Any member want to bring anything up? No? Okay. Agreed then. Moving on swiftly. Agenda item number five then is January monitoring round proposals. Oral briefing from DARD. I refer members to the memo from the clerk at pages 30 to 32 and papers from the department at pages 33 to 35. I'd like to welcome Graham Alderson, Assistant Secretary, Roger Downey, Accountant, and Linda Lowe, Deputy Principal. You're very welcome to the memo as always. The members will have already had a chance to read your briefing paper, so if I can ask you to be brief and concise in addressing the committee, I will give you more than the 5 minutes if you need them, Graham. Certainly no more than 10. If you can keep it as concise as that, would be really appreciated. And members, if we can keep our questions clear and concise, no statements please, just questions. And we'll try and keep those directed as possible in light of the strategic meeting we've just had, whereby we will give you a question on a specific topic, and we'll see how things fare with regards to that. If we need to delve in deeper, we can, but then I would try and get as many people around the committee in on questions. If we have time to go around again, we will. So if I can remind members to keep their questions short and concise and to the point. So without further ado, Graham, you're leading off.
Okay, yes, thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
The 5 minutes will suffice. Thank you, Chair and members, for the opportunity to brief the committee today on the Department's proposals for the January monitoring round exercise. Before turning to the January monitoring round, it may be worth updating members on the outcome of the October monitoring round process. Now, you will recall that the Department had submitted 4 bids as part of that process, totalling at £11.2 million. We were successful in securing £7.3 million of those bids, and that included £5 million for TB compensation, £1.3 million of hardship funding, and £1 million for depreciation. Also, as part of that process, a capital exercise was also completed for the 14-15 financial year, and we were again successful in securing £19.9 million. And that included £13 million for the Rural Development Programme, which also allows us to draw down the equivalent match funding from our EU programme. Also, £2.2 million for flood alleviation, £2 million to support the Going for Growth strategy, £1.7 million for upgrading AFB facilities, and finally £1 million to complete the Food Innovation Centre at Loughrea. Turning to the January monitoring round, members will be aware that this is the last monitoring round in this financial year. It's a critical round as the outcome sets the budget position for our provisional outturn and also our business plan targets. Chair, we want to ensure that our strong financial performance in 12-13 is repeated this year. Members will recall we achieved an outturn of 99.8% on resource and 98.9% on capital last year. That compared very favourably with other departments' performances. evidence of our ability to deliver on our budget is very important as we are about to enter a single-year budget exercise in respect of 15-16. This will be commissioned very shortly within the department and will be presented to this committee early in the new year. Given the extremely tight timescales associated with the outcome of this mounting round, the process is split into two separate stages. Stage one covers transactions not requiring executive approval, and that includes details of any technical issues to be addressed, as well as any our annually managed expenditure forecasts for 13-14. The second stage covers those transactions that require executive approval, and that includes reduced requirements, bids, and any exceptional technical issues to be processed. Starting with reduced requirements, we had identified two areas of ring-fenced capital expenditure which would not be spent in this financial year and will be surrendered to DfP. And those include the Northern Ireland Food Animal Information System, or NIFAS, which was funded as part of an Invest to Save programme, and the amount of that was 0.8 million. In addition, the Forestry Fund, which is funded as part of the Economy and Jobs Initiative, has identified an easement of 0.5 million. And those are all of the reduced requirements in this monitoring round. Turning to bids, you'll be aware from the information the committee has received that we propose to submit one bid of £3 million for TB compensation. Members will be aware of the importance of TB compensation scheme, both in terms of securing the valuable export market in livestock and livestock products, but also the department's statutory requirement to adhere to the tuberculosis control order. And we don't have any further resource bids in this monitoring round. On capital, you will see that there is a 3.3 million capital grant pressure which has been identified, and this relates largely to Axis 3 and Axis 1. These pressures cannot be met internally, and we propose to bid in this monitoring round. But we are also proposing to seek executive approval for one exceptional technical issue for the proactive reallocation of expenditure. The department has proactively reviewed its approach for accruing EU income and has identified an additional £3 million in respect of the veterinary fund. And we propose to reallocate the spending power associated with this additional income to fund the disallowance element of our EU programmes. Chair, this sets out the department's January monitoring round proposals to be sent to DfP, and we welcome the committee's support for our proposals.
Okay, Graeme, thank you very much for being clear and concise. Appreciate that. Straight on the questions then. With regards to the surrendering of the funding and for NIFAS itself, why are we having to surrender this whenever this is part of an Invest to Save programme and it is a fundamental issue within the not only the department but in industry itself? Why are we having to surrender this as opposed to get it implementing?
So we try to be blunt about it. There has been delays in the process in setting out our plans and developing our business case. There's been a number of stages throughout that, both in understanding the quantum that's involved in it, and that has increased as at the committee the last time we discussed the exit strategy, which hadn't been fully quantified. We now have a better handle on our costs, but also increases in cost in terms of the marketplace. The first time it had been sent to DfP was back in 2011, and certainly costs have increased since then. So we've taken the opportunity to relook at the business case. We've been through that process again, and we hadn't anticipated having to do that. So like any IT project, there are slippages that happen through that process. So that's why we're having to surrender the 0.8 at this stage, because of the slippages throughout that process. But what I would say is that the project is in a better place than it was previously, and we have a better handle on what the actual costs are going to be. We're also having a discussion internally about the affordability. The committee will already have seen our capital plans over the next number of years as part of the 14-15 exercise. So we are looking at the affordability. This is a very, very significant investment over a period of 15 years. So we need to be very clear about how we're actually going to fund this very significant spend.
So last time you were here, you talked about an exit strategy for APHIS. Do we have a strategy of implementation then for NIFAS?
Yes, there's a governance arrangements have been established. There's a project plan in place. There's a SRO in place to oversee all of that. It's being developed through Prince 2 methodology. So plans are in place, and as soon as we get the business case completed and to DFP, then we'll be moving on to the procurement phase. And certainly we've had initial market engagement. So I can give the committee a reassurance that things are happening. It's about getting through the next stage, which is the procurement, to allow us to start to spend money.
But if we have a strategy in place, then why do we have to give 0.8 million back now this time?
Because we haven't got to that stage in terms of the procurement. We have to complete the procurement process before we can start spending money. So it's the delay in getting through to the procurement that has meant that we had to surrender funding at this stage.
Okay, thank you very much. Joanne Dobson.
Thank you, Chair.
Again, just if I can remind members to be as clear and concise as possible.
Thank you. Okay, thank you, Chair and Graham. Thank you for your briefing. Could I just focus to start with on the 0.5 million funding for the Forestry Fund? Can you explain what happened here?
Certainly. I think at the very outset, the plans to invest £4 million within the timescales, it was ambitious to try and get that up and running. I think that we didn't fully appreciate all of the stages that we had to go through at the outset. There were two things that happened, Joanne, during that. We had the business case process took longer than we had first envisaged, so that took time to get that completed. Once that was done, I think the procurement has led to delays as well. So again, a bit like NIFAS, it's the time scale to actually getting these things delivered and on the ground is taking longer than we had first envisaged. So really it's around the business case and getting that bit of the process completed, and also on the procurement as well. So those two elements have caused some delay, but we've now have our plans in place. And certainly the responses that we got from stakeholders was very encouraging. We had a lot of really good plans coming through on the Forest Fund, and it's something that we'll be seeking to extend and to look at again. It seems to be a very good scheme and something that we want to do in the future.
Because you do say in your briefing that was funded under the Economy and Jobs Initiative. So are we to take it that this is still a priority for your department then?
Well, very much so. I know certainly Malcolm is speaking to you later on, but Forestry Service have been very committed to actually making this happen. They're engaging regularly with stakeholders to make sure that the money can be spent. We have good governance arrangements to make sure that it happens, and we're working very closely with our colleagues in CPD to make sure that the procurement process is taken forward as quickly as possible.
Chair, we're allowed a second question.
I'll come round if that's okay.
No problem.
Rom Swan.
Thank you very much, Chair. Graham, point 11, exceptional technical issues. It's exceptionally technical to me, because I can't understand it. I just can't get my head around it, if you can explain it. You've identified £3 million in respect of the veterinary fund. So I would assume that it had to be spent against veterinary issues, but the department's been allowed or is allocating that against the disalliance element of the... How does that work?
That's right. It's through the process in DFP, where we've identified additional receipts, then we have to seek DFP's approval to use those additional receipts because, as you quite rightly say, it's in a different area of business. So we're seeking to use additional income there to offset that against a pressure elsewhere within the department, so we have to seek the executive approval to do that. You're quite right, we couldn't just do that internally. That wouldn't be within the rules, so that's why it's being presented as part of this monitoring round process.
Supplementing that, you found an additional £3 million income from the veterinary fund. Where did it come from?
That was part of our review. I mean, certainly whenever we started this financial year, we identified that we had very, very significant pressures within the department, and engaging with DFP, they encouraged us to actually look within the department to identify any opportunities, whether that be increasing income, whether that be reducing our costs, or some spend to save initiative to try and deal with our resource pressures internally. We've been proactive in terms of looking at all areas of our business to try and live within our means. So it's through that process within the department that we've identified additional receipts within the EU veterinary fund that we can use then to offset pressures elsewhere within the department. So it's taking that active action and looking at all areas.
That's the process, understand that. Where did you save 3 million? Was it in manpower? Was it in testing? Is there something specifically there?
It was really looking at our accounting policies about how we were recording our EU veterinary fund. Initially, we had been looking at including a provision for bad debt within our veterinary fund of around 20%, but looking at our accounting policies, that wouldn't be appropriate because we have been actually 100% recovering on our EU veterinary funds, so that would be overly prudent, if you like. So it's looking at the accounting treatment around that to ensure that we're accounting for it in the correct way.
The 3 million's reallocating bad debt allowance?
No, it's just looking at the accounting policy that we apply to how we record our income.
Right. Okay.
Can I just go back then to the bids then, with regards to 3.3 capital grant pressure on Axis 3 council projects, which to me is the strategic projects, and then Axis 1 processing and marketing grant. Can you tell me why we have to bid back in the centre again whenever there is money still unspent within rural development?
So, Chair, my understanding is that the money within rural development is now fully, it's 100% committed. But as part of that process, we need to, in year, we need to identify national funding. As part of our Budget 2010 process, we had identified national monies in each of the financial years. However, as you know, spend didn't actually transpire in that way. It's a bit more of a hockey stick type profile to the spend. So national money that we had earmarked earlier in the programme has had to be surrendered, if you like. So we now need to bid for this money at this stage in the programme, which we hadn't planned for as part of the Budget 2010 process.
Okay. Oliver, you want in?
Yeah, very quickly, Chair, thank you. The forestry fund there, I know it's turning out to be one of the success stories. I've talked to some of the stakeholders on this. Congratulations. When you say it could be extended, that's a good news story.
Well, I mean, certainly that will be subject to both affordability, funding and business cases. At this stage in the process, we have a business case that takes us to 14-15, so we have money, 2 million this year and 2 million next year. But again, that will be something that we need to consider in terms of affordability and our strategic plans. But certainly the responses that we have got is very positive. There's lots of good projects within that, but certainly there are much greater bids in terms of those plans than we have money to afford. But certainly strategically, Malcolm might want to talk about this, but you know, where the Forest Service is going in terms of recreation and tourism, it has to be an important area for us to consider investing in.
A quick supplementary, Chair. Some of the schemes coming forward may not meet the time scale as far as, say, for planning, which would be outside of the realms of yourself or forestry. Would extending it take into consideration those good schemes that could be outside the time frames because of planning, that they wouldn't be punished because of that?
Well, because we have money in these years, we couldn't be committing to schemes outside of that timescale, so we couldn't do that at this stage.
Yes.
But we will need to look at through a post-project evaluation process to consider whether or not we want to extend it in future years.
Excellent. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Joanne Dobson.
Thanks, Chair. My question's been mostly answered by Robin. It was the point 11 about the proactive allocation of £3 million. Just to clarify, and I know I appreciate you did go into detail, Graham, could this reallocation have conceivably taken place in previous years?
Could it have? I mean, it's not something that we looked at in previous years. And I think it was because of how successful Veterinary Service have been in making sure that they recover all of that money. It was prudent to actually make sure that there was a provision in there. because of the uncertainty around actually getting that money. The worst thing that you could do is actually accrue the fund and then not get it. Then that would be would cause pressure in terms of Dell. But our experience and our knowledge to date recognises that we are achieving 100% in terms of the veterinary fund receipts. So that's why we've taken the approach that we have done.
Were the money not going to pay off CAP disallowance? I'm sure you could think of a lot of better use that could be put to across these pressures across the department. But thank you for your answers. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, there's no further questions from members on this issue, this presentation. So again, thank you very much, Graham, and your team for coming along and presenting to us and answering our questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, members. Moving on then, agenda item number 6 is tree disease and plant health, oral briefing from Dard. Can I refer members to the memo from the clerk at pages 37 to 45, the position paper on plant health and tree disease at pages 47 to 68, papers from the department at pages 69 to 72, the Hansard of the plant health and tree disease debate on pages 73 to 83. Response from the Woodland Trust to the Minister's response at pages 84 to 85 and the papers from the Department at pages 86 to 95. I would like to welcome Malcolm Beattie, Chief Executive Forest Service, Stuart Morwood, Director of Woodland Development, Alistair McCracken, Principal Scientific Officer in AFBI, and Jim Crummy, Agricultural Inspector. You're very welcome to the committee. Is that just...
It's just question time.
Just question time, okay. You're very welcome to the committee, as always. Malcolm and your team. Members will have already had a chance to read your briefing paper, but as it is a very important issue, I will allow up to 10 minutes to present to the committee. Can I also remind the members that to allow more, to keep your questions clear and concise and short, and that will enable us to have more time to go round again. So without further... I make members aware that we have been given photographs here to look at as we go along. So without further ado, Malcolm, please proceed. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chairman. Take the advantage of my team. Jim Crummy is new to this, committee, but new in the plant health bit. Okay. Jim is part of the team that's going to join us in Forest Service as we bring the two plant health organisations together. Alistair McCracken is the man who keeps me right. Alistair, I have to tell you, is a glass half full man. I'm glass half empty when it comes to disease. And Stuart rescues me at every opportunity on policy. So that's, okay. That's the team. The papers we gave you, previously you'd been asking us urging us to consider what Plan B might look like. So we thought we'd share this with you. These are photographs from our colleagues in the south on the Leitrim site, where they've been found ash disease circulating in the wider environment. And this is the aftermath of the clearing operation they've done there. They've gone in and they've gone out to 300 metres from the source of infection, taking all hedgerows out. And that's a very appropriate thing to do at this stage of the disease. We get into that later on. That's the sort of thing we've been talking about here. However, the main bit business is to do with the debate, and that's what we're looking for. So. Thank you, Chairman.
Okay, is that... you have no presentation, that's you.
That's the presentation.
You're happy enough to go in. Okay, again, you'll know this is something the committee has been very much involved in and prioritised it, if you like, with regards to the disease. Started off this time last year, I think, processed on. And of course the debate in the chamber and then the review and the report out of that, which you responded. Now, you responded on all the recommendations as having accepted them. And you've done that right across the board with everything. If you were a sceptical man, you would say, well, look, we'll just agree to everything here and then we'd hope this would go away. How would you counter that opinion?
Of course, I'm here to represent my minister, and the minister accepted them, so therefore that's the Minister said we're going to do those things. Of course, we're going to do that now. Has everything happened on day one? No, obviously not. There's quite a lot of organisation that has to do, and maybe that's the first thing to focus on. The Permanent Secretary announced that he wanted to reorganise the department and bring plant health into forestry. I think that gives us then a good base in which to do all of the other things. So, in fact, the Jim's team will be joining me, and we will also become responsibility for the policy unit. It means we then get a coordinated view of plant health and are a better position to address these issues. So that's the kind of background, and that's pretty much where we are at the moment. Other things are ongoing. But with that, once we get that nucleus together, it gives us quite a big resource, and I think we should be able to address all of these issues. The committee's recommendations are quite sensible. Why wouldn't we do them? It's now a timetable to actually get those things done.
Yes. And again, I know time takes time, and when you're gathering people together into a committee forum or some sort of task force even, in order to get some things done and coordinate it, it does take time. But a lot of the words you use there are words that officials would use in order to buy time or delay.
So what are we doing in the meantime?
Is it the case, do we now plan for a plan? Do we now look at strategy? Do we now look at research? Where do we go from here? And where's all the doing words? Where's all the action words?
Well, Jim is tasked with actually doing the project plan, so his brief at the moment is giving us the PID to take us through the project and implement that project, which is to bring the organisation together. That will put us in a position to deal with the day job. The second bit of that is creating some strength then for Stuart on his side, on the policy side, to start thinking where are we going on the way through that. So it's can't do anything unless we get the resource in the right place, and that's why we are where we are today.
Yes.
I should maybe